2 Kings, chapter 4. And this is it's a story that I've, been in these chapters for quite a while now, but this is a passage that I've really not spent a lot of time in, but, looked at, and of course, one of those that you always, we have ones that you kind of keep an eye on, something there, what's going on with that one? But Lord, I'm ready for you to talk, or whatever. And I've heard things shared about this, and then I probably heard sermons about it, and I just don't remember. but anyway, I felt the Lord began to share with me out of it last night, and I'm sure much will be lost as it's spoken through me to you, but I just think there's a lot in this story, obviously, because it is a scripture, and a lot more than what was shared with me, and may the Lord just, bring to your hearts whatever he has for you. We'll just read it. We'll just read through the whole story at 7 verses first, and then go back. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves.' And Elisha said unto her, 'What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?' And she said, 'Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow thee vessels from all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.' So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said unto her, 'There is not a vessel more,' and the oil stopped flowing. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest.'" Okay. So back to verse 1. We'll just read verse 1 again real quick. Start there. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves.'" what I felt the Lord brought to my heart was, for this family, the dad, the husband, the man of the house, whatever, he was one of the sons of the prophets. Now, the sons of the prophets, the school of the prophets back in those times were kind of like, from what I gathered in researching them a little bit, was they're kind of like Bible schools, basically. Places where guys went to know the Lord more, to, become prophets. I don't know how that worked, if you could just choose to, or, you had to actually be one by God, or, I just prophesied, I'm going to school of prophets, I don't know how it worked, but there was music and worship involved there. Their lives were given to the Lord, they were, and there were several schools of prophets. You see in 2 Kings, I think it's 2, when Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's making his way to Jordan to be taken up by the Lord, and, it says they come to, like, Bethel and Jericho, and at each place there's the school of the prophets there. So you take it that there are several of these schools of prophets, and anyway, it was men who desired the Lord, desired more of the Lord, more than what you could say was average, I guess, more than what was just required at their time by the law, by the Jewish society of what was acceptable, which was totally acceptable, wasn't enough apparently for these guys. They wanted to know the Lord more, to be used by the Lord more, and to be developed in what the Lord had called them to, so on, so forth. You get the picture. So, you know, I see this as a family or a group. You know, it doesn't have to be a family. The point I'm getting at isn't about necessarily in the family setting, but just that they were given to the Lord. You know, there was a point when Dad or the husband said, I'm going to the school of prophets. I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? And this is what we're about. And she says to Elijah, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You know, so this was known about him, you know, even to Elijah. You knew his heart. You knew his fear of the Lord, how he loved the Lord, how he sought to honor the Lord. And you know, there was a time in that family and probably a long time where, you know, the father was going to the school of prophets and knowing the Lord and bringing that home. And there was, you know, it was a good time in the Lord, let's say. It was a good environment. And when there is that season, there's a expectation of on the future. You know, a hope in the future. You think this is leading somewhere. And you think, you know, you have some sort of idea of what it may mean. You know, if I go after the Lord more, you know, things will be like this. Or things will be a certain way. You know, we can have that, you know, view of things. And I'm sure she felt that, the sons felt that, the husband felt that, that there was this, you know, we're going after the Lord and things are going to be fine and things are, you know, the Lord's going to take care of us and we're going to be serving the Lord and it's going to be great, you know. Kind of do you get the picture? And then the husband dies, leaves her in debt with two boys. She doesn't have the money to pay it, and the creditor is coming to take your two sons to become slaves. Yeah, it's not funny. She's facing some pretty serious circumstances. You know, I don't think that at any point whatsoever during the time of the school of the prophets that husband was like, listen, I'm giving my life to the Lord and this could probably end really, really bad. Like, I'm talking the boys become slaves and you're on your own, a widow. You know, I don't think that was ever discussed or anticipated until until things... You know, it doesn't say how he died. Maybe he died quickly. Maybe he died slowly. You know, if they are in debt, they borrowed beyond what they had, what they actually, you know, had in pocket. You know, they're, if he died slowly from some sickness, there was probably some dawning began to set in of, whoa, things aren't quite turning out like we had thought or hoped or... You know, situation became just grave, just horrible. Now, apart from all the reasons why this could happen in our lives, starting strong, going after the Lord, future's bright in the Lord, and all of a sudden you find yourself like, and I don't have anyone in mind thinking this, you know, talking about this, I was reading this story, and this is what the Lord brought to my heart. And suddenly things are not as you feel they ought to be. You know what I mean? And again, this lady had her reasons, this woman, this widow, she had her reasons for why the situation got how it got in her life, and we have our reasons. You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily... the reasons why things got here that I felt like the Lord is addressing in this story. Because a lot of times we just get really caught up in the why and how it got this way. How did it get this way? And why am I here in this situation and it's horrible and I'm going to lose everything? And certainly the principles that are set forth in this story that we're going to go over aren't only learned when everything is about to be lost. Not at all. But that's what this story brings out and can bring it home to any area of our life. You know, we can just say, or I'm sorry, we can get caught up, really caught up in regret. Just really caught up in regret. And you know, the Lord can deal with you over why things got the way they did, and he can do that. But we can also just go way beyond the Lord. Way beyond the Lord. And you know you've gone beyond the Lord because it doesn't produce any fruits of righteousness or fruits of the Spirit or fruit of life as a result of you facing why you got there. Does that make sense? If the Lord is dealing with you over something, of why, you know what I mean? Well, you're here because of this, and he's putting his finger on it, and he's going to deal with it. The end result of that is, if your heart is with him in that, is not going to be spiritual, being spiritual paralyzed, beat down, condemned, and further disheartened, you know, if it's the Lord bringing it. That is where we bring ourselves when we just go over all the regrets and all the, I should have done this and I should have done that kind of deal. And then we wouldn't be here now. Shouldn't have borrowed all that money. Didn't know he was going to die, but it was, shouldn't have borrowed beyond what, and now I'm in debt and I'm going to lose my kids. I wish I hadn't. You just get your eyes on the earth, you get your eyes on circumstances and situations, and the most important thing gets forgotten and lost in the midst of all of it. Completely lost. So that's the situation here with this woman. Things had gotten away that she didn't anticipate. You know, usually if you borrow money, you have a plan to pay it back. You know what I mean? I'm going to be okay. I'm withdrawing beyond what I have in pocket, but I'm going to be okay. And, I mean, it didn't turn out. You know, her husband died. So, again, the picture I'm painting, I think I've painted it here clearly enough. Thought it was going this way for whatever reason. I'm not addressing if it was your fault, someone else's. I'm not even, may not even apply to anyone here. You know, things became something totally other. You know, things got bad. And you realize it and you look around and say, this is not what, this was not the end when I started that I had in mind. You know what I mean? This was not the end goal. Where I'm at, the situation I'm in, this is not just where I didn't think it was leading. It shouldn't have got here. Okay, again, we're not addressing why things got there, but the Lord's response when she comes to Elijah and basically says, you know, help, you know, help me, you know, and it starts with she cried unto Elijah about her situation. She goes to him and says, this is going to happen, and this can't be. You know, she had reached the place in her heart that she said, and, you know, losing your kids would bring you there, but, you know, losing the life of Christ and the testimony of Christ and that seed going forth in the earth, you get to a place you can say, man, that can't happen. I can't lose that. I can't let this thing just continue to play out. It's going to go this direction. I'm going to lose my son. They're going to be slaves. You know what I mean? Their dad was one of the sons of the prophets. They were supposed to follow in his footsteps or whatever. You know, their future was supposed to be this. It ain't supposed to be slaves. You know what I mean? I'm not supposed to just... I'm not okay with this. I'm not going to settle for this. And I'm not just going to let this thing play out around me and lose everything. You know, because you can do that too, where you're just overwhelmed by the situation. You know, you're overwhelmed where things have gotten to. You say, there's nothing I can do about this. I can't get out of it. Oh, the money. It is what it is. I'm depressed about it. I hate it. You know what I mean? All that or whatever. But you let it roll on. You just let it play out. And guess what? If she would have just let it play it out, her kids would have been slaves. We wouldn't be reading about her today. You know what I mean? Because you got to believe that probably happened quite a bit. Not a lot. I don't know. Maybe it did. Where, you know, I don't think people borrowing money not being able to pay back is something new. You know? We've made an art of it in America. But anyway, she's not going to let it play out. She doesn't know how to stop it, but she knows someone named Elisha. And he's our picture of, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, whoever, whichever one of the Trinity you want to put there. All of them, you know, whatever. It represents us going to the Lord saying, this can't be. You got to do something. You got to move. I'm coming to you with this thing, right? And so Elisha, you know, for years I read this story. I'm just like, well, okay, you know, we just pour out and whatever, pour into others and this kind of thing. I was like, Lord, what is really the heart of what you're getting at here? What are you trying to show? And I felt like he showed me a few things in Elisha's response to her and to this situation. And I'm sure she was, you know, she'd heard of big miracles Elisha had done before in the past and all this stuff. And she probably thought he can make money rain from heaven or, you know what I mean, whatever. He has the power to fix it. He can do it, and probably hoping and thinking that that's what it was going to take. You know, because when your eyes are just full of the issues and the problems and the regret and all that stuff, you really think that the only way this is going to change is by some big breakthrough, some big move of the Lord. Because the problem is so big, because the issue is so big, you know, and it's so big that it's, there's nothing I can do, you know what I mean? This is too big for me. It's gotten too big for me. I can't do anything. And so I need Elisha to just really call down the power of God here to deal with this and to address this and to get me out of it, to change it, you know. So in verse 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? And then this sentence particularly, tell me, what hast thou in the house? You know, what do you have in your house? Okay, you're in this situation, you're looking at losing your kids, you're looking at all this drama, all this bad stuff, but let's just focus on something else here. What is in you? Just tell me now. Let's refocus, lady. You're freaking out. You know? And you got good reasons for it, right? And stuff happened that shouldn't have happened, all that stuff. But I'm just asking you, what's in your house? Tell me what's in you. And she says, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil. You know, that's all I got. I just got a pot of oil. And you can tell by her response, now oil in the scriptures represents a spirit, right? And this oil in the house represents the spirit that was in her, the spirit of Christ, the supply of the spirit of Christ, right? She says, I have not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Now, the way she's saying that, she's saying, this pot of oil, you can't do anything for me in this situation. What I have is not enough. Now, oil back then was not like vegetable oil nowadays. It was costly. I know there's different kinds, but a lot of the oils were costly. Kings kept stores of oil in their treasury. You know, it was an expensive thing. It was, you know, I don't think it was like gold, but it was, you know, it had value to it. But her response is basically, it's not enough to do anything here. It's not enough to do anything in this situation. You know, so it brings out, her response shows you what her view is. What's in your house? What do you have in you? Yes, Christ is in me. There's not enough for this. I just don't have it. I don't have enough of the Lord. You know, because this thing is too big. I need more than what I have in the Lord. I need what you have in the Lord, but what I have in the Lord just isn't enough. You know, that was kind of her response. You know, if I just had the Lord like this person, number one, I never would have gotten into this, and number two, I'd be able to get myself out of it by the Lord, you know. But that just wasn't the case, though it was her view. And there can be that view in us. where it's like we're so whatever, you know, overwhelmed, whatever you call it, by the situation. The oil gets put on the shelf and called irrelevant to the situation. You know what I mean? This isn't what is needed in this circumstance. You know what I mean? Maybe it was needed way before. Maybe I should have used it back then. Maybe I should have used it to pay on the money I borrowed, you know, whatever. But now things have gotten too big. It's not enough now. It's on the shelf now. It's forgotten now. It's collecting dust now. And I need to find someone, and I need God to move big, and I'm freaking out, and things are going bad, and it shouldn't have gotten, and I'm so full of this. And Elisha says, what's in your house, lady? Tell me what's in you. Just change your focus here with me. What's in you? Well, Christ is in me. So that's irrelevant? I mean, if it's Christ, it's Christ. It's, now, you didn't get like a 3-inch tall Jesus. And some people, you know, and you can't do anything. Can you please get on the shelf? I got real problems here. Jesus, Son of God, Creator of heaven and earth, by whom and for whom all things exist and were created, the fullness of him that filleth all, you know. You're not enough. You can't do it. Please get back on the shelf. I need to find someone else to fix my problems. Elijah says, what's in you? Face it. Tell me. Confess it with your mouth. And she can't even give a real confession that would take, yeah, because she's so enamored with her circumstances that it's, yes, yeah, I got the Lord. I understand that, but I just, you know, it's not enough. So he says to her, go borrow thee vessels from all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And so his response, you know, first is, what's in you? A pot of oil. And again, I just feel like the Lord addressing it. Well, what about that pot of oil? Now, what about that now? Okay, I don't want to talk about how you got into this. I don't want to talk about the situation per se. I want to talk about what's in you. Let's make that the issue. If we're going to move forward here, that's going to have to become the issue. You know, not me fixing all this stuff, not other people being fixed or doing things right, or this guy not coming and taking them, not all the other stuff that your carnal mind is saying needs to happen or has to happen. What about that pot of oil in you that's on the shelf? Let's deal with that. Let's start there. Let's move from there. That pot of oil was not made to be sitting, stagnant, not flowing, bottled up, put on the shelf. That is not why that thing was put in you, and that's not how it works. Part of the reason why you got the way you are is because you put it on a shelf and didn't pour it out. You know what I mean? You know the analogy of I got a reminder of this the other day at work. I opened up underneath this cabinet, this apartment that no one was living in, and water was down there and other junk, and oh my gosh, it stank so bad. It was horrible, but it was because it had been sitting there for, you know, who knows how long, just this water. On the other hand, water, when it flows, it clears things. I mean, it forms, it will cut its way through rocks. You know, you look at the Grand Canyon, and it's just like, it looks like the river formed it. And yet this is something that conforms to anything you put it in. You know what I mean? If I pour water in that cup, it takes the shape of the cup. And you pour water in or on anything, it takes that shape. Yet when that water starts flowing, it changes it. You know, you can even look at just a little stream and the smooth stones in that stream. That, you know, couple inches of water changed something that was rock hard and conformed it to its image. You know, over time of just flowing, water cleans itself, you know, all that stuff. Well, you know, Grace has a kiddie pool, and you know, it's not that big or whatever, but it doesn't take much for that thing to become way too heavy for me to pick up and just dump, you know, when it's time to dump it. It gets heavy. And, you know, we can have that view of, well, it's just, I'm just so enamored with stuff, I just can't get it going. You know, I can't get the flow going. You know, well, it's too much for me to pick that thing up, but if I just push down on one little side of it, it starts flowing. You know what I mean? I don't have to pick the thing up and just slam it over, you know, 200 pounds of water. All I got to do is just push down one side, and it starts going. Same with any pool of water, a lake, you know, a big pond. You just cut a channel the right place on the side, the water's going to start flowing, and it's going to keep flowing. You know, so I'm not trying to, you know, put something on us where we just say, now we all just need to do 180 and just massively let rivers of living water gush out of us, you know, because that's just not going to happen if the oil's been on the shelf, you know. So anyway, he brings the issue to the oil, and basically the message is that he's conveying to her, if this is going to change, it's going to center around the pot of oil in your house. It's going to come by that, you know. And we have to be willing for that to happen, you know. Because we can get stuck on a thing that says, God, you just got to do something. You got to change. You got to make this happen. They need to change, you know, because sometimes we get hung up on even things that aren't us but other people. They need to change, and they need to, you know what I mean, they need to get it right, and you get hung up on it, and Elisha's like, here's the word of the Lord that I'm getting for you. What about that pot of oil? You know? If you're willing to take that pot of oil and do something with it, then we can move forward. But until you come to that place where that is what this is all about, well, things will probably keep playing out like they have been, you know. And so anyway, he tells her, you know, go borrow vessels, bring them in your house. And so her sons shut the door upon her. Her sons brought the vessels onto her. And so all of a sudden, she's in this room, and it, to me, it almost like is a picture of her life. She's in her house, and it's filled with empty vessels. It's just filled with empty things that are just wide open to be poured into, you know, and she's just got this one vessel just bottled up, calling it not enough. You know, it's, well, it's not enough for all of these. Well, you know, and it says, who brought the vessels under her, and she poured out. Well, she had to make a kind of a faith step there, because it never says the jar grew. You know what I mean? And once all the vessels were in there, and suddenly she turned around, and it was linked to a hose. They had an endless supply, you know, they tapped into the city line of, you know, and never, the jar stayed exactly the same the whole time. There was some, and you have all this need. That's what she was facing, just this room full of need. I'm supposed to fill all of this? I can't do it with this, you know. She could have always said that. She could have said that to the end. She could have froze up at any point and just been like, the need is way too much for what I got. I can't do it. There's not enough in there. You know what I mean? Well, it never changed to it being enough in there at a glance. You know what I mean? She poured out. I'm going to move with the Lord. I'm going to move in this direction. We're going to go based on this pot of oil that's in my house. I got nothing else. I'm banking it all on this. You know, this is everything. This pot of oil, I mean, for her, for this lady, this pot of oil was everything. Her life was over without it. The stakes were high. Let me tell you, the stakes are just as high for us. You know what I mean? That little pot of oil that we can and have the ability to put on a shelf and call irrelevant means absolutely everything. It is everything. And our view, by the grace of God, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed by stuff and just our minds just enamored with regret and circumstances and situations and our own whatever, that we forget about it and put it on the shelf. And we need that gentle reminder of the Holy Ghost, what about that pot of oil? And our hearts have to adjust to it. Okay, let's move based on that. Let's move based on that. I see I got a room full of empty pots here. I don't feel like I have enough. But I'm not going to go by my feelings. I'm not going to go by how things look. I've got a pot of oil in my house. I've got Christ in me. I've got the Spirit of Christ. And she poured out. And it came to pass in verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stopped flowing. So she, basically, as she poured and poured, it just kept flowing. It just kept going. It just kept coming out until things were full. You know, and I just saw that. I mean, I think the lesson there is pretty clear. You know, and it, I guess we could talk a little more about what this pouring really is, but it's, you know, if it's Christ, it's Christ. It has its source in God. You know what I mean? You get in the flow of the Lord and you get out of the flow of your soul and the way things look from your soul, from your mind, your will, your emotions, how entangled they are in you. Even if it's you feel like it's this much, you side with that, with Jesus, and you grab hold of that, and I'm moving with this, and I'm going to pour this, and I'm going to pour this into things. You know what I mean? We don't have to go into all the means and methods of what I mean by pouring, but let me just say that what I'm not just talking about is you doing things, calling it pouring out. Do you know what I mean? I'm not talking about you just start sharing Jesus with everyone around you, and that's what I mean by pouring out. That's not what I'm saying. You're bringing life. You're looking to life within you. You're laying hold of life within you and saying, for this situation that's empty, that should have been full of life, I come with one thing only. It's not my agendas. It's not my emotions. It's not my, it has to be this way. It's just Jesus. All I have for this, all I'm bringing to this is Christ. Anything else that I wanted to bring into it, I'm leaving at the cross. You know what I mean? Jesus is everything. He is the one and only issue, and I'm banking everything on him coming forth. And by him, things being changed. You know? And as she poured out, it kept flowing. You know? Almost like that's what Jesus wants to do. You know, almost like he wants to live in us, you know. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. In the end, it didn't just take care of the situation at hand, but that pot of oil supplied them for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? You see this massive adjustment. I see the big adjustment come even when she asks her kids, where does she say it? When she tells her sons to bring me yet a vessel. Bring me another. She keeps filling. At first it was like, I have this vessel that's not enough, and by the time things get going, she's asking, bring me another one. This thing can keep rolling. You see a big heart change happen in her. You know, where she understands, this is it. This is where it's found. This is where I have to live out from. This is my everything. It is enough. Christ in me is enough. And then again, pay the debt, live thou and thy children on the rest for live on the rest of it. Well, whatever situations they came into, the answer was in the oil. You know what I mean? Whatever conflicts they came, whatever, for the rest of their lives to live on it, for their life, the oil was there for that. The oil was the provision for it, you know. And obviously the same is so in Christ. And just to sum it up and give a quick picture of what I felt like the Lord spoke to share in a nutshell was, we get so locked up because of stuff we can get ourselves into and regrets. God's not getting locked up because of our mistakes. If God got, our Father, got halted and all bound up over, you know, dumb stuff we did, man, he would have left us a long time ago. There would have been no hope for us years ago. But he's always moving based on Christ. And when we choose to leave the realm of things got to change in the earth and things got to be this way and why didn't I do this and I should have done that and I need this to happen and I need God to move in this way and this and that, And we'll just hear the Holy Spirit say, what about that pot of oil in you? Can we move based on that? And you start moving based on that. And you start flowing with the Lord and getting really grafted into Him and His life being what you're really, really living on. It's provision for the rest of your life. I just saw an absolutely radical change in this woman. Massive change in this woman. You know, so praise God that the provision is in all of us. Now, our flesh has a problem with that. Because this way doesn't gratify the flesh. And it doesn't gratify your carnal mind that says, I want things to happen this way. You know what I mean? A lot of times, I think people don't go this way because there is really, in fact, it's not just that it doesn't get gratified, it's that it has to go to the cross and die. I mean, to really go this way, you're dying to all the things that you are saying, this has got to happen, and God's got to change this, and this person has to change, and all that. And to say, okay, it's going to be all about the oil, it's going to be all about Christ, it means you got to die to that other stuff. And that can be really hard. It's really hard for our mind and our soul to let go of that and to bury that, to bury it with the Lord and say, man, Christ is my life. Well, if Christ is your life, then your life isn't your life. And that's tough to do when your life is screaming. You know, just screaming. So it's a drastic thing. It's a radical thing. It's a for the lovers of Jesus thing, you know? And I don't mean that in an exclusive way, but it is that. It's not just to get yourself out of trouble. It's a, I want the Lord. I know Jesus is the answer. You know, my regrets are that I didn't make Him the answer before, but I don't want to keep proceeding along the lines of the flesh. I don't want to keep looking to the flesh for answers. On the same hand, I know there's things in me that want it to be this way. It's not going to happen that way. Things are going to play out bad. They've gotten this way because of the flesh. The flesh doesn't have the answer to this, but Christ does. So, Lord, let's bury it all. Let's bury everything else, and I'm putting all my stock and my hope in what to me feels insignificant, though I know all the right things to say about Jesus. You know who Jesus is, and you know the greatness of the Lord and all that stuff, but you can also feel like what you have of the Lord is so insignificant for the situation that you're in. But that's the Lord's provision for it. You know what I mean? You can just say, what else am I going to do then? You know, really, you can keep, I've been there, what else am I going to do? Let's look at my options. I can live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, I know that I can run people over and violate, you know what I mean? I know the options here, and I want Jesus. The other stuff's going to have to be buried, you know? So anyway, Mallory.
Then maybe she had called out, like she probably had an heirloom from her mother's side of the family, like a vase or something. Then she had to go sell that. That was probably just like, oh my gosh, the thing my mother gave me.
Right.
Had to sell it. Then the family milk cow probably had to go. And then she probably sold the grain she was waiting to sow in the spring because they had to eat right now. So she literally had nothing in the house except a pot of oil. And that's a pretty destitute place to be. And I think sometimes our problem is that we still do have other things in our house. And maybe we overlook the pot of oil because we're hoping that mother's vase will bring enough money to pay the creditors. And then that didn't work, so we're going to hope the family cow. You know, we have all these resources, talents, or abilities, or ways to get out of situations. We still have things in our house. But the Lord did not move until there was nothing in the house except the Spirit of God. And then He moved. And I think that maybe that's what holds us back a lot, is that we don't have nothing. We have other things. And we rejoice in the fact that we have Jesus. But we say that He's everything, but maybe in our daily lifestyle, He's not. He's a little pot of oil on the shelf. and really the milk cow and mother's vase are a lot more weighty in our mind than the Jesus that we claim to celebrate.
Yeah.
So they have to go.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, kind of what you're referring to as far as things have to die and they've got to go. The things are important and precious. There's got to be that death knell, that tolling of that death bell on every single thing before the pot of oil is going to start to multiply.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just was thinking
about that. I think that is absolutely right on. Absolutely. For sure. Did they hear that? Cool. Steve.
Well, it was on the heart when Elijah came and said, if what you have, she had upon faith. She already had faith in her. She said she'd be the spark of God. The whole Elijah, and part of the all that she had, doubly in peace because of her double faith, and saying, yes, I want to have. You're taking these. I get these, but maybe you can use it to help me. She was reaching out, stepping out in faith, and reaching out for the Lord. He said, he's there all the time within her. And the circumstances, she was reaching out for help. When Elijah didn't have to come, she could just take the pot of oil and stumble in peace and tell the good man, no, I've been the devil's way, but instead, Lord, just tell her, go get the pots, go get the neighbors, bring them in here to me, and we'll work this up. And she said, feeling, because of her faith. Well, I'd like to say to the Lord, that spirit of the pot of oil. So the Lord was, the heart was on her hand. His hand was on her heart to help her out in her time of need. But she, like, went as far as what the Lord does all the time.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else? Or close out? Well, let's close out with a word of prayer. Lord, just as Mallory was sharing, it's like, even though she may have probably over a long period of time sold things off, sold the cow, sold the vase, sold things off, Lord, and yes, she should have turned to you, and yes, you were just as valuable through all that times, and yes, her view, and she was messed up and doing all that stuff, and we can be, but you were right there ready when she came. When she was finally done doing her thing, Lord, you were right there, ready to lift up Jesus, ready to point to Jesus, ready to fill her and pour out of her and fill every single vessel in that house that was brought in, Lord. Ready to move, Lord Jesus, it is so true of you, Lord. We think we're so far off, but Lord, the word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart, that word of faith. You are not far off, Lord. You're never far off. Father, we feel far off. We get far off, Lord, in our emotions and things, but in spirit and in heart, you are joined to us. We are one with you. And you're ready to move, Lord, just as soon as our hearts will align, Father. So, Lord, I'd say don't give up on us, Lord, but I know you won't. Just thank you for your faithfulness that you're here. Lord, for whoever and whatever part this word was for, may your grace be upon them. It's sufficient for them. Lord, we just believe for them, for myself, for us, Lord, that oil will flow and will fill many, many vessels and be multiplied because it's you, Lord Jesus, because it's you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.